हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 63, Adhyaya 2, Adhikarana 6, Methodology of the Sandarbhas. Next, Srila Jiva Goswami explains about the source of the references he would cite as evidence in the Satsandarbhas, Anucheda 28. In order to prove the particular meaning shown by me, not in order to prove the statement of Bhagavatam, statements from Shruti and Puranas are quoted in the Sandarbhas. Sometimes statements from scriptures I have not personally seen are presented from Madhvacharya's commentaries on Brahma Sutra, Bhagavatam, and Mahabharata, along with others in his specific line like Vyasatirtha, Vijayadwaja, and Vijayadwaja. He was famous in the south as Guru of Tattvavad, holding excellent Vaishnava views well known since ancient times, and was most learned in the Vedas and their meaning. In his commentary on Mahabharata, he says, understanding other scriptures by the mercy of Vedanta, seeing scriptures of various types in various provinces, I will speak according to the Lord's view, just as Vyas, who is directly Lord Narayana, spoke in the Mahabharata. The Shrutis that he quotes, such as Chatur Veda Shiksha and some Puranas like Garuda, are now available in partial form or not available at all. Other scriptures like Mahasamhita, Tantra Bhagavata and Brahma Tarka are also in this category. Anucheda Prakashika. Having explained that the explanations of his are in line with the previous acharyas, now Jiva Goswami declares that he quotes Shrutis and Puranas to strengthen his own interpretations, not to prove the statements of Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam, being an independent and highest Shruti, needs no validation by other scriptures. Right, so in other words, from Bhagavatam, you can actually understand the meaning of other scriptures, but it's not that the other scriptures then are necessary to establish Bhagavatam. Right? Then he says that some of the scriptures quoted are based on what Madhvacharya quoted in his books, as those were not available in his times. His means in Jiva Goswami. Srila Baladeva Devushan's commentary. In the Sandarbhas, the statements the author has taken from Shruti and Puranas are to prove the particular interpretation he has shown in a Bhagavatam statement, not to prove that the Bhagavatam statements are true, since Bhagavatam is its own proof, being equivalent of Shruti. Examining those scriptures, the verses are taken intact and quoted. Some statements, however, he had not seen directly. These statements have been seen by Madhvacharya in certain scriptures and are quoted. Footnote 23. Having proven Bhagavatam the supreme praman, it needs no further validation. Srila Jiva Goswami will therefore quote scripture only to validate his conclusions. He had a library and he quotes from those sources as he has directly seen. He also takes help from the writings of Sri Madhvacharya, who lived a few centuries before Jiva Goswami. Madhvacharya quotes many sources in his books that by Jiva's time were already lost. Thus, sometimes to prove a particular meaning in his explanation, statements from Shruti and Purana have been gathered from Madhvacharya's Bhagavat Tatparya and other works. It is implied that the author of these works, Madhvacharya, is truthful. Right? So it means the Acharya wrote these, then we know that they're correct. Kumara Brahmacharyavan Naishtiko Ya Satya Tapo Nidhi Swapne Pyan Nuritam Noche Cha. The person who is a lifelong celibate, an ocean of self-control and truth, does not speak falsely even in dreams. So, he's a Naishtika Brahmachari, so therefore. The works under discussion are described. They belong to the Tattvavad school. Tattvavad means a philosophy which advocates that all things of substance, the Lord, Jiva, and matter, are real. In arguments with Shankara, Vyasa approved of Madhva's ideas, well known since ancient times, and rejected those of Shankara. This is a traditional story. Footnote 24. It is said that Shankara argued with Vyasa concerning the meaning of Brahma Sutras, but Madhava became Vyasa's disciple and learned from him. The particular teachings so in other words, Shankara and Vyasa, then they had that difference. But the point is what is Vyasa's intention of the Brahma Sutras, that's what he taught to Madhva. Because Madhva is his disciple. The particular teachings he preached are that devotee brahmanas are qualified for liberation. Devatas are the chief devotees. Brahma attains Sayuja Mukti. And Lakshmi is a jiva. His followers are famous in the southern districts and other places. This means that Madhavendra Puri and several others became his followers. In his introduction to his book, Madhva indicates that he did not see all the scriptures in their entirety, but understood them by the mercy of Vedanta. He gathered scriptures when he traveled about defeating others. Footnote 25. In Madhva's time, 12th century, there were no printing presses. He traveled the length and breadth of India collecting scriptures and other philosophical works, books, copying them by hand at the various temples and libraries he visited. He was renowned for his photographic memory. When he was not allowed to copy the books he found, he read them and later reproduced them from memory. In this way, he amassed an immense library at his headquarters in Udupi, in Karnataka. Some say his library had no equal. Later on, it was destroyed by fire, and thus many of the books he refers to in his writings are lost forever. The Shrutis that he quotes, such as Chaturveda Shiksha and some Puranas like Garuda, are now available in partial form or not available at all. Other scriptures like Mahapurana, Tantra, Bhagavat, and Brahma Tarka are also in this category, but also there are no known texts expounding the materialistic philosophy of Charvak Muni. It has all been lost to antiquity. Whatever we know of his beliefs are because Madhva quotes from Charvak Muni's works in his books. Herein he refutes Charvak's materialism. So here ends the discussion. Yeah, so this is his particular angle that he's bringing out. I say, and that's why then, on as far as defeating the Mayavadis, then we'll fully agree with Madhva. But when it comes to fine points of our own philosophy, then we won't use this angle like that. Yeah, Lakshmi is a jiva. Jiva means servant, because we also know Shankarshan is known as Jiva. And he's the Supreme Lord. So Lakshmi can be Jiva and be the Supreme Servant. Right? So in this case, then Jiva is meaning servant. So the problem is then with that, then there's two lines. It's split. The Vatagalai and Tengalai. And so one of them will say that she's Jiva, meaning she's from Jiva Tattva. Others will say she's Jiva, meaning she's the internal potency. But she's servant to the Lord. So the internal potency is subservient to the Lord. So you get these two interpretations. So Sayuja Mukti just means you attain that position of being on the transcendental platform. Like that. But then, you know, that's all the further they take it. But, you know, then it goes beyond. So, like that. The Devatas are the chief devotees. They will be there. We respect them and all that. But at the same time, that there's others that we see, the Paramahamsas and that, within the lines, that are even superior to them. Because they're all Nephite devotees. Like that. You know, I mean, not all. Means Madhvacharya is not. So, he's Vayu. So, you know, you have a few of them, individuals who might not be. So this particular angle works very nice for his preaching to defeat the Mayavadis, but to establish some of the finer points of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we don't. We'll take it further than this.
When it was said here that a person with a lifelong celibate, he does not speak falsely even in dreams. So it is a general statement.
Yes. But because you have those who are the, you know, celibates like Narad Muni and other persons like that. Then they just don't, because dreams are made up of your experiences during the day, or, you know, some from past days or stuff like this. So if during the day they're always, you know, conscious of the truth, then why would their dreams be anything but that? Right? People speak other things rather than truth because of material desire. They don't have material desire, so then what's to speak about? Right? So that from that position you can understand they'll be speaking truth. Now, what is the ultimate truth? That means it's about Krishna.
Yes.
So that they may or may not be, because just being celibate is not enough. You have to be devotional. Like that. But the point being is that why he's bringing this up is that Madhvacharya says that it is a quote from this book. Then we accept that it is, because as a lifelong brahmachari, why would he say anything different? So he's just establishing the authority. Here ends the discussion on the Pramana section of Sri Tattva Sandarbha. Having established Shabda Praman as the valid means of knowledge, and having established the Srimad Bhagavatam as the topmost form of Shabda Praman, in the next section, Srila Jiva Goswami begins his discussion of Prameya, or what is attainable by the knowledge in the topmost Pramana. Then we have, here we go, something more. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so from the part 3, Prameya Pakarana. So Adhyaya 3, Prameya Kanda. Then the Adhikarana 1, defining the message of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering the realizations of Vyasa in trance. Adhikarana 2, Srimad Bhagavatam's message defined in terms of understanding the Jiva and the Supreme Brahman. And Adhikarana 3, understand the absolute truth by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam's 10 topics. Adhyayana 3, Prameya Kanda, Anuchedas 29-63. Oh, this is the third, okay, the third Adhyaya, not that this is the particular. Okay, Adhyaya Prakashika. In this halfway point of the Tattva Sandarbha, Sri Jiva Goswami has finished his discussion of epistemology by ascertaining the proper means of acquiring knowledge, Pramana. Now, in the Prameya Kanda of this work, Jiva Goswami aims at clearly delineate these tattvas and determine the true categories of his existence. Right, so this is the ontology, no? Yeah. One of the prominent Madhva scholars gives the following definition of Prameya. The word Prameya is derived from Sanskrit root prama, meaning buddhi or cognition. That which is the object of cognition is called Prameya, and whatever is comprehended by buddhi is categorized into objects of cognition, known as the Prameyas. So Prameya can be translated as that which is knowable, or the object of true knowledge. End quote. All knowledge involves three entities: the subject, the knower, and the knowledge itself. If the knowledge is exact, then these are called Prameya. The Pramata or Pramatri and the Prama, respectively. Okay, so the subject is the Prameya. And then the knower is the Pramata or Pramatri, because that's where you have the Pramatri level of consciousness. And the Prama is then what it is that's known from that. Okay. Among the school sharing admiration for Apaurusheya Shabda Pramana, there is disagreement over topics of Sambandhijnana. Right? It means, in other words, what's in that topic. They'll all agree it's based on Shastra, and Shastra is the ultimate authority, but there will be a difference of opinion on what are the categories within Sambandha. Right? They'll also have on Videya and on Prayojana. Don't worry. Don't get the anxious here that, you know, only in there. What about the yes?
Can we say that this difference of opinion means it is due to some are in parampara, some are not in parampara.
Yes, but it just means it's just a matter of basically the Vaishnavas will agree.
Yes.
Right? But the outside of the Vaishnavas, then there's different varieties or combinations of jnana and karma. And so because of that, then they have different goals, therefore there's a different method, therefore there's a different field of activity. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the...
What you call that speculation?
Yes, it is speculation. But that's the point, is they disagree. So, see, is that up to the point that you're proving that it's about Shabda Praman, then whoever agrees with that, then they give a good example or give a good quotation, we'll use it.
Yes.
You know, like we quoted Shankara in many things, Panini in many things, like that. And so that's not a problem. Even Jaimini in some places. So, but that's up to prove that point. Beyond that point, now there's a difference. Now we don't quote them. Now we'll quote from other places. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, among the schools sharing admiration from Aparusheya Shabda Praman, there is disagreement over topics of Sambandha Gyan. Both Advaita and Advaita Vedantists revere Shruti, yet possess opposite concepts of the Jiva, Maya, Bhagavan, Brahman, and so on. So in order to establish the Tattva Gyan according to the Vaishnava doctrine, Srila Madhvacharya had presented the Nava Pramayas, or nine philosophical foundations, undergirding the Vaishnavism. A study he based on the Vedanta Sutras. So fundamental are these truths, declares Baladeva Vidibhushan, that without a clear understanding of them, one cannot hope to assimilate the philosophy of our disciplic succession. Right? So this is the Nava Prameyas. So basically you'll see it's the same as the Dasamul. Just it's not bringing out rasa. Because his thrust is to defeat the remnants of impersonalism. So you don't need to bring up rasa because they don't even accept that there's a personal and all that. You'll see when he refers to the spiritual world, some inferences there of that. But he's very careful about that. That's more of the hidden side of it. So the nine pramayas are simply to establish the authority of the, you know, proper Vaishnava Siddhanta. Right? So, Srimadva Praha, Vishnum Parataram Akilam Naya Vedam Cha Vishvam Satyam Vedam Cha Jivam Haricharana Dushas Taratyam Yam Chatesham Moksham Vishvangri Labdha Tat Amala Bhajanam Tasya Hetum Pramanam Pratyakshadi Tarayam Chait Yupadishat Hari Krishna Chaitanya Chandraha. Okay. So it means here, it's interesting. So Srimadva Praha, Madhvacharya teaches this, but Hari Krishna Chaitanya Chandraha, he's heard this from Lord Chaitanya. Madhvacharya taught that. One, Lord Vishnu is the absolute truth, than whom nothing is higher. Right? So we have the same one. He is known by the study of the Vedas, right? So that'll be the same also. The material world is real, right? So we'll have that within the energies of the Lord. So he'll bring that out to the front because they have such a strong opinion that this is all illusion. That being a very point of contention, even though it may be a subsection of another, he'll bring that forward, right? So instead of it just being within the world of the Lord's energies and how he is Paramatma's controlling them, they bring this one forward, you know. So chit achit ishwar, it's like the Upanishads. It'll have more of that because the Upanishads, then the essence is that's in the Vedanta Sutra, and so then it follows. It'll have that flavor. Well, for us, we're trying to establish that all these are controlled by Krishna. Right? So if you understand Krishna and Krishna's energies and the connection there, then the conditioned jiva then can elevate himself. So we don't separate the material energy off too far.
Yes.
Like that. Means he's not disconnecting it from the Lord, but he's emphasizing the point of its realness. We'll say it. But at the same time, as we'll also say it's unreal, which he won't say. He'll never say that. He'll just say it's temporary. We'll say it's unreal because it's temporary. But his point is he won't use words that are buzzwords for the Maya bodies, because then they'll go, see, you said it's unreal. And then you have to spend 3 hours going through that until you finally defeat that. So he just doesn't say it. Right? Does that make sense? The jivas, living entities, are different from Lord Vishnu, right? So we're bringing out just what their nature and their part of the Lord's energies,
yes.
Right? But he'll bring out that they're different,
yes. Yes.
Like that, because he's trying to bring out, that's why the dvait is being pushed to a very strong degree. And that's only to defeat the Mayavadis.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, is we'll say the same points, but we won't emphasize it so much. We'll bring it there, but at other points we'll be doing the similarity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So therefore, the achinta beta veda tattva.
Mm-hmm.
It's inconceivable. But he's not going to get into inconceivable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to take the logic of the thing, you know, take a sock, put a brick inside, and then whack him over the head with it.
Right?
Yes, yes. That's why all the four acharyas, yes, then they preached according to Lord Chaitanya's direction,
yes,
for the particular time to establish something. And then all these four would be brought together in Achinta Beda Veda Tattva.
Yes.
Since they came from Achinta Beda Veda Tattva, well, then with Lord Chaitanya coming as the Yuga Avatar, then they'll be brought back inside.
Yes.
So, yeah. Five, the jivas by nature are servants of the Lord's lotus feet, right? So that's the natural, transcendental souls. In both the conditioned and liberated condition, the jivas are situated in higher or lower statuses. Right? So then you're taking these, the positions here of the jivas, these three positions, and just bringing out slightly different emphasis. Right, so that there's the transcendental living entities, right? But here is bringing out that they're servants. So we'll bring that out with dasan or das, and then they are different from the Lord. Then here, whatever they're situated in higher and lower statuses, right? So in other words, you have those who are in pure goodness,
mm-hmm,
right? And then those living entities who basically are in ignorance because they don't know their relationship with the Lord. Then you have those jivas who are fortunate that they've come in contact with the devotional process and have the faith and are taking up that process. Like that. Or you can also look at it that you have those who are in the transcendental position, then the living entities within the modes of nature. But that's the conditioning, that's not the jiva. So as far as the jiva goes, he's either in vidya, avidya, or he's in avidya, but he knows about vidya and he's moving forward towards it. Right? Seven, liberation does not mean an impersonal merging, but the attainment of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Right? So that's the perfectional stage. Pure devotional service grants liberation. And direct perception, logic, and Vedic authority are the three sources of actual knowledge. Right? So he's put it at the end, that's where you get it. Well, we'll put it as the first. And that's all. Like that. Okay. So you see, as it's the same points, it's just that he's put it to this thing just for specifically his preaching. So it's not that there's anything less or more, it's just that you'll see in here rasa is not brought up. The aspect of Bhagavan is not being brought up, because that's personal and that's where they get then out of shape. But to show he's the supreme, and that then generally you're just taking them one step further. You're taking from Brahman to Paramatma. And they're good. In the Sat Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami expands on these core tenets by giving a systematic presentation of Pramaya as seen through the divine vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So even though this previous one before was given by Lord Chaitanya, right? But now this is how Lord Chaitanya himself presents it from the Bhagavatam, right? Because you're giving the final Shastra while he's bringing in more from the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutra, basically from Nyaya, the Nyaya Prastham, right, these become his main focus. Right? So you have the Gita, you have the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra. This is known as Nyaya Prasthan. So for that, you'll see this Nava Pramaya works nice. The Bhagavad Gita fits very nicely into these sections. Like that. It does have all ten. But it has these. Mm-hmm. Like that. Just because it's the essence of the Upanishads.
Maharaj, you can say that this Nyaya Prasthan system is like so clear in logic that nobody can destroy it.
Yes, like that. Also, the Dasa Mool, but the point is there needs some more qualification.
Yes.
One who has faith can use the Dasa Mool. One who doesn't have faith, then you can deal with them through the Nava Pramaya. So basically, it just means is, you know, you don't tell the name, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord to those without faith. The other things stand properly. With the devotees, then you add that. But it's the same point. But you see here is that you have to point out the material world's real. The jiva is different from the Lord. He's a natural servant of the Lord. You're only going to know through shastra, not through mental speculation. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Several centuries later, the philosophy expounded in this section was again distilled by the seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is 10 essential maxims, the Dasa Mool Tattva, as follows. Amnaya Praha Tattvam Harimiha Paramam Sarva Shaktim Rasabhim Tadbhinams Chajivan Prakriti Kavalitam Tadvibuktam Chabhavata Vedab Heda Prakasham Shakalam Apihares Sadhanam Shudhabhaktim Sadhyam tat piti evat yupadashati harir gaura chandra bhajay tvam. Tam. I worship Sri Gaura Chandra, Lord Chaitanya, who has revealed the path of wisdom. The Vedic scripture is the only authority for knowledge of the ninefold aspects of wisdom, which are 1. Sri Hari is the only source of wisdom. 2. He is omnipotent. 3. He is an ocean of bliss. 4. The living entities are his parts and parcels. 5. Some of the living entities are conditioned by the material nature. 6. Other living entities are liberated from material nature. 7. Everything, including the jivas, is one and different from Sri Hari. 8. Unalloyed devotional service is the only means for the conditioned souls to go beyond this world of birth and death. And 9. Love for the Supreme Lord, prema, is the only goal. Right? So he's given here is that you're going to attain the lotus feet, this liberation.
Yes.
Right? And you're going to get that from pure devotion.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So he's not bringing out the prema aspect.
Yes. Yes.
Of course, in discussions that may be there with the Vaishnavas, but in the preaching, then, it's just showing that, you know, because people want liberation, but actual liberation is connection with Vishnu. You're eternal, Vishnu is eternal, that relationship.
Maharaj, yes. He's also, you can say, alluded to the bhakti. He's like, maybe not speaking about bhakti directly, but it's...
No, he's speaking about bhakti directly, because he's mentioned there as the Abhideya. Pure devotional service grants liberation. He has no problem talking about bhakti. He's just not putting too much emphasis on that Bhagavan aspect and relation and rasa. Because it's just that he's first trying to get them to have faith and be stable. So, whether in other works and all that, he brings that out more, I would expect that would be there. But the point is that in his Nava Pramayas to establish the Dvaitavad, then he doesn't put a strong emphasis on those. Like even ourselves, we have it there,
yes.
But we don't overemphasize that, yes. For groups that it's not going to,
yes.
Be beneficial.
Yes. But can we say also that when we, for example, when we join ISKCON, we are not always in the bhakti path, you know? But it's the same thing for us.
No, we're means when you take it up. But the point is we're not spouting Mayavad philosophy according to Shankara Bhasya. So you don't need that technical of a structure to deal with it. So you just have to establish ourselves as the soul, Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, our relationship that we're servant, he's master, and the process for elevation is through devotion, you know, specifically chanting, and the ultimate goal is the pure love of God. So that's what we'll use as a beginning. So we'll use that Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana by establishing those points. So in there, we don't even have to bring out the point of the material world.
Yes.
Only if it comes up, then we'll talk about it. But for the Maya bodies, it always comes up, so therefore it has to be a prominent point. But for us, just that simple presentation of Sambandhavide and Prayojana, then this is... To establish these principles, Srila Jiva Goswami first examines the inner mood of Sri Sukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Anucheda 29, he quotes and analyzes Sutta Goswami's prayers, which describe Sukadeva's realization and exalted position. Then, from Anuchedas 30 to 49, he examines the description of what Srila Vyasadeva realized in trance, which is the basis upon which he composed Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. While describing Vyasa's trance, Srila Jiva Goswami uses logic and scriptural references in Anuchedas 34 to 43 to decisively refute the two primary doctrines of the Mayavadis. He also explains the real meaning and purpose behind the statements in scriptures describing oneness between the Jiva and Brahman. From Anuchedas 50 to 52, he shows that the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam is the non-dual supreme reality by analyzing the second verse of its first chapter. In Anuchedas 53 to 55, he explains the nature of the Jiva, namely that the Jiva, being a fractional part of Brahman, is conscious like Brahman, but can never be equal to Brahman. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that understanding the similarity between the Jiva and Brahman is the initial step towards realizing the absolute truth. Right? In other words, that Brahman is transcendental, we're transcendental. But you still have to know the difference, that just because we're transcendental doesn't mean we're the same. Right? Yes. From Anucheda 56 on, he examines the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam from another angle. Here he analyzes the 10 topics of Bhagavatam, citing Sukadeva Goswami's list in the second canto and Sutta Goswami's list in the 12th canto. He shows that there is no clash of either spirit or content between these two great Bhagavatam authorities. In their descriptions of the first 9 topics, both Sukadeva and Sutta convey an understanding of the multifarious potencies and activities of the 10th item, the shelter of all, Lord Sri Krishna. Thus, from various angles, Jiva Goswami... Thus, Jiva Goswami, from various angles, establishes that Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate scriptural authority and that it teaches the following. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotional service is the process of attaining the supreme goal. And the supreme goal is pure, unalloyed love of Godhead. Right? So that's your essential point of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Then within that, then you will know the energies, the Jiva, the material energy, his internal potency, like that. You see, so it just breaks down. But these are the three main points. Sri Tattvasandarbha has presented the theme of Sambandha in a preliminary form. This subject will be fully elaborated in the next three, Bhagavat, Paramatma, and Krishna Sandarbhas, because they'll deal with the three levels of Krishna as the Supreme, and Paramatma as he's the controller of all energies, and as Krishna and how he is Bhagavan, then he is the Lord of Rasa.
And also Krishna is the Avatari.
And he's the Avatari, and all others, okay. Overview of Adhikaranas. Adhikarana 1. Defining the message of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering the realizations of Vyasa in trance, Anuchedas 29 to 49. Adhikarana 2. Srimad Bhagavatam's message defined in terms of understanding the Jiva and the Supreme Brahman, Anuchedas 50 to 55. Adhikarana 3. Understanding the Absolute Truth by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam's 10 topics. Right, so you see, it's all these different aspects are bringing out different approaches. And so you know that all these are all that's there. Then within that, you understand this Dasa Mool given by Lord Chaitanya. Then you'll understand all these other formulas that are used, these other structures. And, you know, to how they very nicely work for that particular situation. But the Dasa Mool is the one that'll work for everything. Okay. Adhikarana 1. Defining the message of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering the realizations of Vyasadeva in trance. Anuchedas 29-49. Adhikarana Prakashita. After establishing the Srimad Bhagavatam as the highest pramana, the current Adhikarana focuses on describing the subject matter of the Bhagavatam. The answers to the enigmas taxing every philosopher since time immemorial. What is the nature of this world? Why do we suffer? What is our means of salvation? What is our ultimate purpose? Are to be found in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in order to gain entrance into these secrets, Srila Jiva Goswami states, one must study its transcendent origin, the samadhi meditation of its speaker, Srila Vyasadeva. Jiva Goswami analyzes Jiva Goswami analyzes the heart of the original writer, Srila Vyasadeva, and the speakers, Sukadeva Goswami and Sutta Goswami, so that he can analyze the whole text of Bhagavatam in light of that analysis. This leaves no room for doubt about the conclusion of the topmost pramana. Right? So you've established Bhagavatam as the topmost. Now you want to establish what is the Bhagavatam actually saying. So that's the prameyas. Right, what is the nature of this world? Right, so the doubt is I want to enjoy it, but it's not working out that way, so what's actually the nature of this world? Why can't I enjoy it? Why do we suffer? Because I'm supposed to be enjoying all the time, so why am I suffering? What is our means of salvation? Right, so how can we get out of the suffering we get from the material world and trying to enjoy it? And what is our ultimate purpose? You know, what situation can we come to that we can ultimately always enjoy? Right. So, that is the basis of these questions. How to be the controller and enjoyer, and why is the material nature not cooperating? Yes. And why is the Supreme not arranged everything perfectly so that it does work out properly? Okay. In order to invoke blessings of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who was given audience by even Vyasadeva, Jiva Goswami first analyzes his heart in Anucheda 29. Then in the next Anucheda, he proceeds to analyze the trance of Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva saw in his meditation the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, along with all his energies and spiritual expansions. Then also saw Maya, the external energy, who took shelter behind the Lord. Jiva Goswami establishes the Sambandhi. Oh, he uses the word Sambandhi. Okay. The Sambandhi Tattva from this realization of Vyasadeva, which shows that only the Supreme Lord Krishna is independent and all other energies are dependent and subservient to him. So that's the aspect that you're saying, Krishna Sandarbha, of he's the avatari. Also by pointing out how the jiva comes under the influence of maya, owing to their minute independence. Srila Jiva Goswami initiates the discussion on the essential difference between the Lord and the jiva. He thoroughly refutes all the various bogus philosophies presented by the Mayavadis, who attempt to show that there is no difference between jiva and Brahman, through logic and Shabda Brahman. Means they're using logic and Shabda Brahman, or we're using, or both, everybody's using.
He defeats them through logic.
Srila Jiva Goswami. Oh, wait a minute, we're down here. Okay, here we go. So there's another Srila Jiva Goswami. Yeah, I would say he thoroughly refutes all the various bogus philosophies presented by, through logic and Shabda Praman, the various bogus philosophies presented, so it's very clear it's he's using it. The Mayavadis propose two main theories. Pratibimbavada, the theory of reflection, and Parichedavada, the theory of bifurcation, to support their argument that Jiva is not different from Brahman. Srila Jiva Goswami crushes to dust the arguments of both the groups by giving various reasons and proofs from the scripture. Then he presents the proper understanding of the relationship of the Lord and the Jiva by the philosophy of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. After this, Srila Jiva Goswami, by referring to Vyasadeva's realization of how bhakti is the only means by which the Jiva can gain freedom from material miseries and reinstate in their original pure state of prema for the Lord. Establishes the Abhideya and Prayojana. Then, finally, Jiva Goswami concludes this Adhikarana by quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10, which confirms that the words of Sri Suta Goswami are in accordance with Vyasa's realization. In this way, Srila Jiva Goswami shows conclusively that Sukadeva Goswami, Srila Vyasadeva, and Suta Goswami are all fixed in the same realization of the single absolute truth, and also establish the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana Tattvas through their realization. Right? Because otherwise, even you come up and say that this is the absolute truth, this is what Bhagavatam is saying, then there's the understanding of that, how you would get that understanding, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so then some may say, oh, is it according to what Sukadeva says, Vyasadeva says, or Sukadeva Goswami, because they're seeing a difference. Because simply of what term they used, or what order they put it. Right? And so then that will then create, confusion, and therefore illusion on what's the actual, or doubt on what's the actual. So you're trying to show us that the only knowledge is through Shabda. Shabda means the Vedas, then that highest is the Bhagavatam, of the Bhagavatam, then as these three have spoken it, it's the same.
Yes.
They're just giving different angles of the same thing.
Yes.
That's very important, because if that's clear, then it leaves out mental speculation.
Yes.
Then we just follow the acharyas. Otherwise, if we try to see, or if we perceive differences between the acharyas, that they're not agreeing with each other, then what does that leave with us? That leaves we can do our own thing. Well, they are differing in opinion, so what's the problem if I differ? But if they're not differing, then if I'm not in line with them, then there's a problem here.
Yes.
So you have to point out how there's a difference.
Yes.
Right? So he's closing, you know, sewing everything up by showing there is no difference.
Mm-hmm.
This is the conclusion, and that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if you don't like it, then hey. There's always Calvin and Hobbes, right?
Now she can just tweet personality yesterday, she get it, and she doesn't. It's like parampara system.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's the parampara, so you can see is there not any difference. That's a very good point. It also then established parampara, because if it's not different there, why it would be different back to Mud, to Narad, back to Brahma,
yes.
Krishna, like that.
Yes.
Anucheta 29. The meaning of Bhagavatam, as described above, is presented in brief through seeing the devotion in the heart of Sukadeva, the speaker of Bhagavatam, as Suta offers respects. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the son of Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, who, though mixed in his own bliss with no fixed in his own bliss with no distractions, became attracted, Abhideya, to the pleasing pastimes of Krishna, Sambandha, and mercifully spread the Bhagavatam, which describes the goal, Prayoja, and destroys obstacles to attraction. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.12.69. Sridhar Swami comments, Suta Goswami offers respects to his guru, whose heart was full, nibhritam, of his own bliss, swasukam, by which all other thoughts were destroyed. But in spite of his firmness in that happiness, sadaha, he became attracted to the pastimes of the Lord. I offer respects to he who spread the Bhagavatam, which reveals the purushartha, tatra deepam. End quote. One should also see these three verses from the second canto. O king, generally the sages who are beyond rules and prohibitions, who are situated beyond the gunas, take pleasure in glorifying the qualities of the Lord. This scripture concerning the Supreme Lord is a Purana equal to the Lord itself. I learned this scripture from my father, Vyas, in the beginning of the last part of the Dwapara Yuga. Though I was fixed in Brahman and beyond the gunas, my mind became attracted to the pastimes of the Lord. Thus I learned about his pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.7.9. Akila Vrijinagnam means Bhagavatam destroys all things indifferent to or opposed to attraction to Krishna. Sambandhi Tattvam, the principal deity to be described in the work, is indicated. Vijita, unsurpassed, in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.12.69, refers to the person who is endowed with sweet pastimes, more attractive than the bliss of Brahman. Footnote 1. Matter and Brahman are subservient to Krishna. It means Krishna primarily, since he is full of all qualities. This will be revealed in Vyasa's Samadhi. The Purushartha called Prayojana, Tattva Deepam, is thus the happiness of prema, which produces attraction for Krishna, right? So this prema, that should be the light by which it, all others are lit. Right? Understand all these things in connection with pure love for Krishna. Not some other, not worship Krishna, the goal is to go to the heavenly planets, get liberation. No, it's to develop that prema. The Abhideya's worship of Krishna in the form of hearing his pastimes, which generates prema. It is said here that Sukadeva was the son of Vyas. This suggests that according to Brahma Vaivarta Purana, by the blessings of Krishna, he would not be touched by Maya from his very birth. And thus he came out of the womb. Sutta speaks to Sonika. Anucheta Prakashita. Taken from Sri Jiva Toshani commentary. Toshani.
That was mistake at the time, I think. No. He, instead of N, there will be E.
Oh, instead of an I, it'll be an E?
Instead of N, there will be E. Tosha Yi.
Oh, there'll be a Y. Tosha. Oh, instead of an N, there'll be a Y.
E. D-O-S-A-E-I.
Oh, E-I, not Y-I.
Not an I.
A.
D-O-S-A-E-I. That is the name. How
do you spell it? I.
Who's
C? A. I. O. O. Where do you get an E-I?
Toshayi. E-parental
type of English.
No, no. Maharaj is
also called. It means the Sanskrit.
Yeah. I mean, he wrote as E-I. It can be Y-I also.
I would think use Y-I. That's how we use. Okay.
This is the commentary of Shiva Goswami?
Kusakrata. Okay. In the preceding adhyaya, by process of analysis and elimination, Srila Jiva Goswami has taken an objective look at the Vedas, Vedanta, Itihasas, and Puranas, and shown that Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost pramana for all time. Now, in beginning his analysis of the Bhagavatam itself, he again performs Mangalacharan to further invoke auspiciousness for his sacred undertaking of writing the Satsangarhas. According from Sutta Goswami's prayer to Sukadeva, Srila Jiva Goswami shows reference to Sukadeva Goswami to invoke his blessings, so that the import of the Srimad Bhagavatam may be understood without any deviation. Simultaneously, Srila Jiva Goswami indicates the tattva of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana from the quoted verse. Sarva Samvadini. This is Jiva Goswami. At the beginning of the Prameya Pakarana, that which is proved by the Prameyas, the work begins with this verse to offer respects to Sukadeva. Numbers are placed at the end of the Bhagavatam verses. The subject matter, which acts as sutras, to show the order of the statements. Sutta speaks the verse in the 12th chapter of the 12th canto. Right, so he's just showing that this is how he's laying it out. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana. The author began the work, Anucheda 8, with a verse which indicated Krishna as the Sambandhi, the the subject of Bhagavatam, bhakti as the abhideha, and prema as the prayojana. Footnote 2. Okay. Yes. May Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Swayam, whose excellence, whose existence as pure consciousness is defined in some scriptures as Brahman, whose Amsa, Purushavatar, controlling Maya, shines with his expansions, and one of those forms called Narayana plays in Vaikuntha, give prema to those who worship his feet. To begin the work now, the author quotes a verse from Bhagavatam describing Sukadeva, with the indications of the same elements. Artha indicates auspiciousness. The verse indicates that the heart of the speaker of the scripture was fixed only in the entity propounded by the scripture and in nothing else. So, he's only absorbed in Krishna and nothing else. Purana refers to the Purana which describes the Lord, Ajita. The commentary of Sridhar Swami explains that Swasukam means that Sukadeva was full of his own bliss. Footnote 3. Sukadeva Goswami was self-realized even while in the womb. He was so absorbed in the bliss of Brahman, he had no desire to leave his mother's womb lest he be attacked by Maya. He took birth, however, upon assurance from Lord Krishna that Maya would not capture him. Srila Jiva Goswami states that this story is narrated in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. This story is not in the current editions of the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. That's Sridhar Swami, or this is...
In the Anucheda, Jiva Goswami mentions this.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying the footnote.
Footnote is...
So then just put Vriti. So we're clear. This bliss was greater than the bliss of the jiva, just as honey is sweeter than unrefined sugar. He had experienced the great bliss of self-manifesting Brahman, a form of bliss, but without manifestation of the Lord's abode, qualities, powers, and pastimes. He became attracted to the Lord's pastimes with his associates, with blissful forms, attracted, ruchita, because of combinations of sweetness mixed with the highest powers, like some sweet potion. Vriti. From Sri Jiva Toshini commentary. What you can do is just put Vriti and then just put the Sri Jiva Toshini, you know, in front of the sentence.
Yeah.
You know, in the bold. And then put the two lines. You just have the Vriti and then put the that.
Yeah. I thought of doing like that. Initially, I just mentioned. Next onwards, it was like that only.
Okay, in the next one, it'll go like that.
Because initially, to make the clarity that this is a commentary.
Okay. And Gopi Puranadanas has a...
Very rarely, yeah.
But he has a name?
No, he doesn't have
a name. He doesn't give a name to his. Okay. Yeah, then just... Yes. Otherwise, then you can always shorten it just down to Gopi Puranadanas. After his birth, Sukadeva Goswami left his father's hermitage for the forest. Later on, when he heard a few of Vyasa's disciples reciting Bhagavatam verses, his mind was enthralled. So much so, he abandoned absorption in Brahman and studied the Bhagavatam under his great father. This is evident from the first canto, chapter 7 of the Bhagavatam, and the verses quoted in the Anucheda. Some scholars insist, however, that because Srila Sukadeva Goswami was attached to impersonal Brahman realization, even prior to his birth, he remained fixed in his ideal, and they conclude that the Srimad Bhagavatam promotes impersonalism. The prayers of Sutta Goswami refutes this speculation. In addition, by quoting this verse, Srila Jiva Goswami reveals the import of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is that happiness in Krishna consciousness surpasses all other grades of happiness, including that achieved by merging into God's impersonal effulgence. This is confirmed by Sukadeva himself in 2nd Canto 2:1-7-9. Quote, O King Parikit, generally even the Brahman realized souls, who are above the regulated principles and restrictions, take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, I studied this great essence of the Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavat Purana from my father, Srila Dwaipayana Vyasadeva. O saintly king, I was certainly situated in Brahman realization, beyond the three modes of material nature. Yet I was still attracted by the telling of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. This is the reason why I studied this Purana. This is significant. In spite of all his impersonal qualifications, Sukadev Goswami was still attracted to the narrations of the pastimes of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This incident hints at the wonderful potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. That it was able to capture the heart of a Brahman realized person. So, then continuing with Baladev, then Bhagavatam destroys all obstacles, hostility to or rejection of the subject. Sutta speaks to Saunaka. This last statement describes the context of the verse quoted. The speaker will be stated after each Bhagavatam verse quoted in the Sandarbha in order to understand the context. Vriti. In the next Anucheda, Srila Jiva Goswami begins analyzing the heart of Srila Vyasadeva. Anucheda 30. In the same meaning of Bhagavatam is indicated in brief the samadhi of the speaker, Vyas, which defined the tattva to be explained in the future scripture. Right? So he's in his meditation and then the scripture will be revealed. Right? It is in that mind which was fixed because it was pure from the performance of bhakti, prema. He saw Lord Krishna, complete with all his energies and spiritual expansions, and also saw Maya, who took shelter behind the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.4. Bhakti means prema is in the following. As tvevam anga bhagavan bhajatam mukundo muktim dadati karhichit sma na bhakti yogam. The Lord gives liberation but not prema to those who worship him. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18. Pranihite means fixed. Narada instructed samadhina nu smara tad vicheshtitam. Remember with intention the pastimes of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.13. The words Purnam, Purusham, complete person, according to Mukta Pragrahavriti, tending to the highest meaning, means Krishna, for it is said. The words Bhagavan and Purusha, when indicating someone devoid of all upadhis, mean Vasudev, the soul of all beings, from Padma Purana. Kama kamo yajet soma akama purusham param. The person desiring sense gratification should worship Soma. The person desiring to destroy all material desire should worship the Supreme Lord. Akama, sarvakamo va. Right, you're still worshiping Krishna because Krishna is the moon. But when you're worshiping as Bhagavan, then it's there. But when you're worshiping as universal form, then it feels that way. The person desiring destruction of desires, the person with all desires, and even the person with an intense desire for liberation, if he has good intelligence, will worship the Supreme Lord with pure bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:3, 9-10. In verse 9, Purusham refers to Paramatma, who has the one upadhi of Prakriti. In verse 10, Purusham means Swayam Bhagavan, who is free of upadhis, being complete. This is according to Sridhar Swami's commentary, right? Because there's that mood, as we mentioned, Rupa Goswami points out that with the expansion of Baladev, so that means Krishna himself has no flavor of this. Right? He's the origin, but he's no flavor of this. Then with Balaram, then there's a background flavor of him being the Lord of creation, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, meaning he's having this aspect of this upadhi of Prakriti. Right? But it's still his energy and it's under his control, so it doesn't affect him. He's transcendental. But that flavor comes in. But you don't see it with Balaram. Right? Then he expands as Mahanarayan. You don't see there. But when they expand as Sankarshan and he expands as Paranodaksha Vishnu, then you see it. So that mood of him is Paramatma, then that's with that upadhi of that he is the controller of the material energy. Okay. because the others don't deal with it at all. So even his dealing is through the transformation of his internal potency. Thus, the meaning is that Vyasa Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Purusham Purnam, bewildered by that Maya, the Jiva, though separate from the three gunas, considers himself made of the three gunas, and takes on material existence created by the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.5. And Vyasa Bhakti Yoga to the Lord, which effectively destroys Jiva's samsara. Learned Vyas then wrote the Bhagavatam for ignorant people, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.6. By hearing Bhagavatam, bhakti for the Supreme Lord appears. Hearing it also destroys lamentation, illusion, and fear in the human being, 1.7.7. Having already made the Bhagavatam, the sage Vyas revisited it at this time and taught it to his son Sukadeva, who had realized Brahman, 1.7.8. Okay, so then, he's seeing everything, the Lord and everything different, but how the Jiva gets controlled. So then by being absorbed in the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected, then one himself comes to that transcendental position. Mm-hmm. Shaunaka asks,
can we say that these verses are like the similar to the Shakti Shakti? These verses are like
they're more speaking about that. Because they're basically more. Yeah. I wouldn't, let's say, try to connect them like that. These, everything, of course, can be connected to each other, but then it takes too much of a stretch. Because here is that, you know, he's already, he's teaching, he's on Brahman platform, so he's teaching those values on the higher platform like that. He's teaching about the Lord. So to always have these elements, because these four shlokas are the basis of Bhagavatam. So you'll always find them in there. But I wouldn't necessarily say that these would connect that way. Shaunaka asks, Sukadeva was fixed in the Brahman, indifferent to everything, and enjoying in the self. Why did he study this elaborate work? Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.9. Sutra applies, Atmaramas chamunayo nirgaranta apyuru krame kuravant ya hai tukim bhaktim itam bhuta guno harihi. Some sages who are Atmaramas, beyond the scriptures, false ego and rules, also practice unmotivated pure bhakti to the master of pure bhakti, Krishna, since he possesses qualities attractive to even them. Harer guna kshipta matir bhagavan bhadarayanihi adyaghan mahad akhyanam nitya vishnu jana priyaha. Sukadeva, the son of Vyas, whose mind became distracted from trance by the qualities of Krishna, and who became attracted to the Vaishnavas, studied this great Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7, 10, and 11, Anucheta Prakashita, from his grace, Gopi Pranadana Prabhu's commentary. To understand the import of a book such as Srimad Bhagavatam, is it important to understand the intent of its author? To understand the mind or heart of Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Jiva Goswami analyzes Vyasa's trance, which is the basis for the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once this is accomplished, the whole Bhagavatam should be understood in light of this ideal. Then one can be confident that he has grasped its essential message. Srila Jiva Goswami writes 20 Aduchetas. Therefore, just to bring out the ideal lodged in the heart of Srila Vyasadeva and shows it to be in agreement with the heart of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. In the previous Anucheta, even before analyzing the heart of Vyasadeva, Srila Jiva Goswami analyzed the heart of Sukadeva. This was to invoke the blessings of Sri Sukha, who was given audience even by Srila Vyasadeva. The verses describing the trance of Srila Vyasadeva are pregnant with the import of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they form the basis of that great work, and subsequently the Satsang Dharmas. Here the term Bhakti Yogena, Srimad Bhagavatam 174, means by prema, or love of Godhead. Because only prema can give one vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with His potencies. This is also indicated by the word Amala, or the pure heart. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, bhakti is divided into three categories. Sa bhaktihi, saranam bhava, prema chet, tri dorita. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 121. Bhakti is of three types, sarana, bhava, and prema. One who attains prema bhakti has realized Krishna both within and without. His ignorance about the self and his material miseries are completely vanquished. Srila Rupa Goswami confirms this when he says, Sandarananda Visheshatma Shri Shri Krishna Karshani Chaitsa. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 117. In commenting on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Sadya Prema Bhakti Sandarananda Visheshatma Rupa Shri Krishna Karshani Rupa. The perfect platform of bhakti, known as prema bhakti, gives unlimited bliss to the devotee, and even attracts Lord Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes, therefore, that it is only by the influence of this prema bhakti that Srila Vyasa realized in his trance the Bhagavat Tattva, along with the Maya Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and the Bhakti Tattva. He saw the self-same personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, along with his internal, external, and marginal potencies. Sarvasambandhini. Sutta explains to Shonaka, the verses are followed by short explanations. This procedure is followed throughout the book. Srila Baladeva Vibhushana. Having quoted a verse to show the devotion of Sukadeva, now verses are quoted to show the devotion of Vyas. Nivriti niratam means Sukadeva was devoid of desires for material objects, since he was absorbed in the bliss of Brahman. What is the result of studying this work? Kashya. Adhyagat means he studied. Mukta prarahya indicates that just as a horse, freed from its reins, runs to the limit of his strength, the word purna takes on its highest limit of fullness as Swayam Bhagavan. Riti. The verses describing Vedavyasa's trance, Srimad Bhagavatam 174-7. Trance. That's where the British one comes from. They don't use the American eh. They use the standard Sanskrit ah. Okay. Give the quintessence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The major points of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy are expressed here in brief. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami gives more analysis of these verses in the next Anucchedas. Anucheda 31. Instead of Purusham Purnam, sometimes Purusham Purvam is seen. This refers to Shruti, which says, Purvam evaham ihasam iti tat purushasya purushatvam. Purushatvam. It is said, quote, in the beginning I alone existed in this world, end quote. Because the Lord was the only person, Purushasya, existing previously, Purvam, he is called the Purusha. Taittiriya Aranyaka 123.1. This indicates Bhagavan. Seeing the Purusham Purnam means that Vyasa saw the Lord endowed with his Sarupa Shakti. Just as, quote, he saw the full moon, end quote, means he saw the moon with its bright light. Right? It doesn't mean he just saw the moon and no light. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Seeing the Purusham Purnam, thus it is said, quote, you are the original Lord, the controller beyond material energy. You are situated in your spiritual form, being one with your spiritual energy. Chich Chakya. And separate from the material energy. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.23. Therefore, since Maya is inferior to the Surup Shakti, it is said that Maya took shelter of the Lord as an inferior. Mayam Chatad Apashrayam. She was standing concealed. This indicates that Maya does not arise from his Surup. Maya Parait mimukhe, mimukhe cha vilajamana maya. Oh, maya being ashamed cannot stand before the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.47. So she's coming from his Sarup Shakti, not from his Sarup. His Sarup Shakti comes from his Sarup. And then the Maya Shakti is an expansion of the Sarup Shakti. So that's why she's embarrassed, so she stands, you know, behind. The Sarup Shakti, as Bhakti, will be explained with Anarto Pashamam Shakshat Bhakti Yogam Adhoksajay. Vyasa Bhakti Yoga to the Lord, which effectively destroys the Jiva Samsara. Srimad Bhagavatam 176. Also, see Atmaramas Cha Munayo Nirgranta Ap Yugrukrame Kuravant Yaki Kuravant Yahai Tukam Bhaktim, Srimad Bhagavatam 1710. The power of Bhakti Yoga mentioned in the first text is understood to be the function of the Sarup Shakti, since it is the defeater of Maya. In the second verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 1710, Bhakti's qualities act as the highest function of the Sarup Shakti, Prema, to minimize the bliss of Brahman. Right, so it's the Sarup Shakti that we're... That's what he's realizing here, is that relationship between the Lord, his Sarup Shakti, and then the Jiva. Right? And how the material energy then is behind the Lord. So that way then everything's starting from the Lord. You're not bringing up that the religious process is another thing or the main thing and their angas of bhakti. No, they're only useful as secondary support. Bhakti being independent, it's the relationship between the Lord and his Sarup Shakti. That's where the bhakti is. The Jiva then taking shelter of that comes to the transcendental platform. They take shelter of Maya, the various religious processes. Then they become entangled in the material world. Then, when they engage that, their position in the Lord's service, that's when they start to transfer to the transcendental position. And so that's why it says, those that are transcendentally situated, they're beyond the rules and regulations. They're just practicing bhakti. Bhakti already includes those rules. So it's not that they're not following, the rules aren't being followed. It's just that they're already part of bhakti, so they're not separately followed as religion and then connected to Krishna. Bhakti already includes those rules. Right? It's just the natural performance of the devotion. The Purusha who oversees Maya is an Amsha of Bhagavan. Brahman is not mentioned separately, since, as the Lord's manifestation without qualities, it is included within Bhagavan. As previously mentioned, Anucheta 29, Sambandhi Tattva is indicated by this. So here the Sambandhi meaning referring to the person who the Tattva is about, so that's Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right, so Brahman on its own is his impersonal qualities. That's already contained when you have Paramatma. Right? And then when you have Bhagavan, that includes Brahman and Paramatma. So just by saying the one, you already include the others. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Anucheta Prakashita. From Jiva Toshayi. In the previous Anucheta, the author described that Sri Vyas has seen the Lord along with his internal, external, and marginal potencies. This aspect is further elaborated in this Anucheta. Sri Vyas saw the Lord along with his potencies, just as one always sees the full moon along with its light. In the spiritual sky, these potencies also exist in their personal forms. Srimati Radhika, with whom the Lord performs his most intimate pastimes, is the personification of his pleasure potency. That Srila Vyas also saw in his trance Srimati Radhika along with her associates is understood, because the Lord is never separated from his potencies. From this analysis of Veda Vyasa's trance, it is clear that the central subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the personal form of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, and the process to attain him is Bhakti Yoga, as was mentioned previously. Brahman and Paramatma, being dependent manifestations of the Lord, cannot be separate from him. But these two features are not the objects of Vyasa's trance, and so cannot be the central subjects of his greatest work, the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Though it may be in other works. Mm-hmm. Still, it should be noted that Brahman and Paramatma realization are included in Krishna or Bhagavan realization. inasmuch as when a man has $1 million, it automatically includes all smaller denominations. So they're just trying to point out that it's just about Krishna. Because right? Otherwise some may have other opinions on what it's about. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki. Jaya Nityananda Gaura Premananda ki. Thank you.